Now, turn in your Bibles today to the book of Psalms, chapter 103. Psalms 103, and I want to bring a message today which has to do with the benefits from God. This is Thanksgiving season. In fact, this week will be Thanksgiving, as we all know. And I wanted to just address this particular topic this morning. Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now, I would mention today as we, let me just kind of commentary my way through these two verses. The word bless has to do with praise. It has to do with a sense of gratitude. That's in the word bless. Now, let me keep reading. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now, the word soul there is actually the equivalent of the mind and the heart. Of the mind and the heart. When it says, "O my soul," it's also including the mind and the heart. Let me keep reading. "In all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul." And now here's our thought, "Forget not all his benefits." Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, this morning we thank you for the benefits that you bestowed upon us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, and Lord, this time of the year is such a reminder, such a great reminder of the fact that we need to be thankful. We need to have that attitude of gratitude. And Lord, we have so much today to be thankful for. Now, Father, I pray your blessings now upon the preaching of the Word of God. I pray if there's someone here today that has not received the greatest blessing of all, the blessing of salvation, Lord, I pray that they would receive that blessing today. And then they would have something to be thankful for in a major way. So, Father, just bless, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This week, as everyone here today knows, we celebrate Thanksgiving 2019. Hard to believe that here we are again at another time of the year where we celebrate Thanksgiving. Hard to believe that we actually have already entered into the Christmas season as well. And of course, that will be officially made public when Macy's Day Parade kicks off in New York City on Thanksgiving Day. So here we are again, 2019. Hard to believe, Thanksgiving 2019. Most likely all of us will keep our traditional Thanksgiving customs. We will do what we usually do on Thanksgiving. I'm sure that families will be getting together again. I'm sure that we will be eating our traditional Thanksgiving meals, our traditional Thanksgiving items on the table. I'm sure that's going to take place. I'd sure hate to be a turkey this time of the year, wouldn't you? By the way, just let me give you a couple of trivia questions here. What do you get when you cross a turkey with an octopus? Well, you get enough drumsticks for everyone, don't you? Which side of the turkey has the most feathers? Well, the outside. Figure that one out. Now, have you ever wondered about this? Why do pilgrims' pants keep falling down? The answer is because the belt buckles on the hat. Now, I'm going to try to get serious. I don't know how successful I'll be. But in verses 1 and 2, we see here God is saying to all of us, basically, to be thankful. God is saying to all of us to bless the Lord and to not forget his benefits or the benefits that he's given us. We're commanded here in the Bible to not forget all of his benefits. Now, you may wonder, why would the Bible be worded that way? Why would the Bible talk about not forgetting the benefits of God? Well, I think one of the big reasons could be is the fact that we're prone to forget. We are prone to forget. So we need to be reminded. You know, there's a lot of things in life we need to keep being reminded because we're prone to forget. So, therefore, in the Bible here, we're told to not forget the benefits from God because basically we are prone to forget if we're not careful. We oftentimes forget the benefits that God has bestowed upon us. Now let me break this down just a little bit here today as we talk about the benefits from God. And my, how good God's been to us. My, what a blessing the Lord has been. On Thanksgiving Day, I'm telling you, we've been blessed so much, we don't need Thanksgiving Day to give thanks, do we? We don't need to wait a year, do we? This is not something that we do just one time a year on one day. The blessings of God are so numerous, so many of them. The song says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. There's a problem with that song. We can't count them all. All we can do is just keep on counting, but we'll never get them all counted, will we? So I appreciate the song and understand the gist of the song. But it's impossible to fulfill that song because we've got too many blessings to thank God for. I would suggest a few. First of all, let me give you this suggestion. We need to thank God today for the benefit of His mercy, His compassion, and His faithfulness. Amen. His mercy, His compassion, and His faithfulness. The book of Lamentations, chapter number 3, verses 22 and 23 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And if my memory serves me right, there's a song out that's taken from that verse. Great is thy faithfulness. Yesterday, we have the benefit of God's mercy, the benefit of God's compassion, and the benefit of God's faithfulness. What tremendous benefits. What tremendous blessings. As the old gospel song said, He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. And that's exactly what He did. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, that God commendeth His love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were yet sinners. If we could only wrap our minds around that. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for the good. He didn't die for the people that didn't have sin, because there's none anyway. He didn't die for the upright person. He died for sinners. He took us just as we are, in spite of our flaws, in spite of our inconsistencies, in spite of our sins, in spite of our wretchedness. Jesus still died for us just the same. And that's a wonderful truth when you stop and think about it. In other words, a person cannot sin too much to keep God from loving them. They can't sin too much to keep God from saving them. I don't care how far in sin you may have gone. I can gladly announce to you today, God will still take you just like you are and save you in spite of yourself. And that's a wonderful truth. You know, you have people today that are attempting to please one another. People attempt, that's human nature. We attempt to please one another. We want people to like us. We want people to think well of us. But the problem is, we never are able to reach the deepest level that we would desire by seeking to have people to be pleased in us, because I don't care how much we do, we're still not perfect anyway. And we may please a person today, but that same person might be upset with us tomorrow because we're inconsistent. But we can say today that God still accepts us just as we are. God doesn't have an attitude change like people have. God doesn't change His mind tomorrow about whether He's going to love us or not. God is still the same. And it's a wonderful truth to know that God takes us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our failures as surely as He knows our strengths and our victories. But that still does not alter the attitude of God towards sinners. God commendeth His love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He still died for us all the same. He does not despise us because of our weaknesses, nor does He love us because of our strengths. He loves us just the same. He loves the least as much as He loves the greatest. There is not a person in this building today that God loves any more than the other person beside that individual. He loves us all the same. In the sight of God, He loves us the same because Jesus died for all equally. He died for every sinner who has ever lived since Adam fell. And that's a tremendous benefit. When I think of Thanksgiving, I'm glad for what will be on the table this coming Thursday. But I'm glad that I'm eating from the table of all tables and feasting off of the manna from heaven. I'm thankful today for God's grace. I'm thankful today for God's mercy. I'm thankful today for God's faithfulness. When I sit down on this coming Thursday, like the rest of you will be seated around the table with your families, you'll eat that old great big meal and you'll just, well, look out, lounge chair, you know, when the meal's over. You'll take your nap. We'll all be like a bunch of hogs. We'll sit there and gorge ourselves and then sleep afterwards. That's what hogs do. Did y'all know that? But guess what? Thursday evening we'll be hungry again. Friday morning for sure. So that meal, I don't care how great it is, it has to be repeated. We have to keep on eating. But the thing that I like about the Bible though, is when we come to Jesus Christ and He gives us eternal life and we partake from the manna of heaven and we drink from the water of life, He fills our soul. We're given eternal life. In other words, we don't have to eat again when it comes to the matter of partaking of eternal life, because once we're saved, we're given eternal life, and that is taken care of lock, stock, and barrel. When a person gets saved, they're as saved as they'll ever be. As far as being justified, I'm not going to stand here today and try to become a theologian on you. But you know, there are different words that we could study, like sanctification and glorification and all that. But as far as justification, declared righteous, accepted in God's sight, the moment you get saved, you're as saved as you'll ever be, as far as that part's concerned. But now, yes, we need to grow in the Lord and develop and get stronger and all that. We understand that, right? But as far as being saved, we're not saved by good works, and we don't lose salvation by bad works. We're secure in Christ because I've given to them eternal life. Either God is a liar or He's telling the truth. I tend to believe God's telling the truth. Amen. I've given to them eternal life. They shall never perish. Now, if your religion comes along and says you can lose your salvation, how about doing this for a change? Lay your religious books aside, pick up your Bible, read what God says. That's what we go by. In fact, we as a church, we might be a Baptist church, but we don't put all the credence on being a Baptist. That's not where we put our credence. We put our credence upon what thus saith the Lord. And if the Baptists ever depart from thus saith the Lord, then I'll quit being a Baptist. Because I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist any more than you're going to heaven because you might be a Methodist or a Catholic or an Episcopalian. We don't go there on a denominational coattail. We go there because we've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been to Calvary. We've been saved. That's how a person gets to heaven. It's through the blood of the crucified one. Thank God for Thanksgiving. But thank God really for the mercy, the grace, the faithfulness of Almighty God to a sinner. Then secondly, we need to be thankful today for the benefits of living in America. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that. We can be thankful for the benefits of living in America. We have a lot of folks in this service, including Cheryl Holt's brother, who's a Vietnam vet, others, veterans. Many of us have fought for this country. And we'd do it again. Because we love our country. We believe that the values of our country are worthy of fighting and dying for. And so, we're thankful. But every one of you in this service today, veteran or non-veteran, you love your country. Amen. And everyone is equally as patriotic in this service. That's what I appreciate about this church. This is a very patriotic church. And we get hot around our gills when people trash our country. We don't appreciate it. Those that trash this country attempt to push globalism must cause the pilgrims to turn over in their graves. A study of colonial history should be mandatory in our educational system. You know, when the Mayflower anchored at Plymouth Harbor on 16 December, 16 and 20, there were 99 people on board. Four had already died earlier at Cape Cod, and one was born at Cape Cod. The Plymouth colony lost almost half its population during the first winter the pilgrims spent in America. They had left Holland for various reasons. One of the big reasons that the pilgrims left Holland was they were worried about their children's future. The unrest at that time. They feared the effects of a corrupt and permissive culture. That was one reason the pilgrims left Holland. They left England prior to moving to Holland. 1608, they left England. They located briefly in Amsterdam, and then they settled for more than a decade in a place called Leiden in Holland. And then later, they migrated to our shores. Now, what can we say about our country, this place we call home? What can we say about America? We can say more than a sermon would ever allow the time to say. We can say a lot of things. We're thankful for America, aren't we? We live in a prosperous country. We need to be thankful. You know, all over the world right now, millions of people are wondering where their next meal will come from. We take for granted the religious freedoms we have. And yet we have the audacity many times to bemoan the fact that we seem to be losing some of them, but we need to rejoice, however, in what we have right now. Yes, we have a right to complain. We have a constitutional right to complain. When we think that the moorings of our country are being shaken by bad politics, we have a right to complain. But I'm glad for this, though. Guess what? We are in church today, aren't we? We're unhindered from having this worship service. We have before us open Bibles. We're able to meet in the public. We didn't have to meet in an underground church today to have church service. We can be thankful for that. No one church in America can dictate to another church how to function or what to preach. We are a pluralistic society. Some people don't like the word pluralistic, but when you stop and think about it, you and I can be very thankful we live in a pluralistic society. And let me explain why. I was an Army chaplain for a number of years, and I appreciated religious pluralism in the military, and I'll tell you why. Because I was able to preach unhindered the gospel of Jesus Christ. We may have had all kinds of other religions in the military, and I did not agree with where they were doctrinally, and they didn't agree with where I was doctrinally, but yet at the same time, because we are religiously pluralistic in our country, I still could stand up, open the King James Version of the Word of God, and preach a gospel to people, and hold invitations, and people could get saved on military bases. And I say thank God for that. But what about us today? No other church in America can dictate to our church how to function, what to preach. We here believe in justification by faith in Christ's finished work. We believe there's one way to heaven because we take the Bible literally. But guess what? A person is free in America to believe the opposite if they want to. And yes, biblically we are convinced that the Bible alone is a standard for faith and practice. We believe that. There are others that do not believe that, but they have a right not to believe that. And I'm glad that we live in a country like our country, to where even though error can be preached, thank God we can still preach truth. I would really be troubled if our government would ever get to the place where it say, where it would tell us we're going to control what kind of churches we have. We're going to have a state church like the Church of England. I'm very thankful today we live in this country and we do have religious freedom in that respect. We can be thankful that in America, anyone can believe what they want, and that includes the freedom to believe what we want. In other words, freedom of religion means a freedom to be an independent Baptist and preach the Bible as the Word of God and the cross work of Jesus Christ as the standard for getting saved. So today, on Thanksgiving, let's be thankful that we live in America. Amen. Now, thirdly, let's be thankful today for the benefit of the migration of all migrations. And I'm going to try to explain that. This world is not the home of Christian pilgrims. Every person today that's been saved is a Christian pilgrim. We like that word pilgrim around Thanksgiving, don't we? Every Christian is a Christian pilgrim. We are citizens, though, of another country. We belong to another country. We are going to one day, and catch this point, we're going to one day have a migration that's going to be the migration of all migrations. Pilgrims migrated to our shore. But the people of God are going to be involved in a migration that all other migrations are going to pale in significance. You know, we get overwhelmed by listening to the news, don't we? I do. Let me give you a prescription to get real good and depressed. Listen to the news. You can be having a perfectly good day, and when you cut on the news and you hear about all of this junk that's going on, oh, they're trying their best to kill this president, aren't they? Trying to get him removed, trying to impeach him. I'm sick and tired of hearing about impeachment, aren't you? I have a sneaky suspicion today that our president probably has a stronger support base now than he had before all this junk began. But you know what that proves? That proves a lack of wisdom on the part of profane people. They don't realize it, but they're baiting their own trap. But again, let me come back to my point. News is depressing. Many politicians live in bubbles. They're blinded to what matters the most. They're always planning the next election. They'll do everything they can to get elected. Many of the politicians are power mongers who want to be in control. And when they get elected, they don't know how to control, for they're out of control themselves. How can anybody control that's out of control? Those that govern rightly must be governed rightly themselves. You have today in our country, and again, this does support my point. I'm thankful for America. I don't like a lot of this that's going on any more than you do. But I have a right to express myself. And that's what I'm doing. You know, globalism, you've heard that term. Globalism views America as just another country in the order of nations, and sovereignty isn't important. That's how a globalist thinks. They think in light of the best interests of the whole world. But our president wants to put America first. I don't have any problem with that, y'all. I'll tell you, wouldn't the president be proud of me this morning? If I was in some churches up north or somewhere, they'd say, all right, pulpit committee, get together now. Let's get rid of that pastor. But you see, globalists think in terms of the best interests of the world rather than the best interests of our nation. Many think in light of the world. Some think in light of America. But very few think in light of eternity. Thanksgiving reminds us to be thankful for the bountiful blessings of God. And the way we celebrate traditionally, yes, we all agree today, we pay a certain amount of tribute to our colonial history. We celebrate a migration that pilgrims made from Holland and the sacrifices involved in homesteading in America. We should really be thankful for a migration that's on my mind right now. And that will occur when a saint dies. Amen. Do you know that when a saint dies, they migrate? Have you ever heard the word migrate ever being used? But in a sense, that's what it is. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, they migrate to heaven, don't they? So that's a pretty good migration. We should rejoice and be thankful for the secure future that the child of God has. An event that's going to take place when the church will migrate to glory in the rapture. Can you imagine the massive migration that's going to take place when the trumpet of God sounds? When Jesus comes back? When He splits the eastern sky? When He calls the saints of God out. And I'll tell you this morning, I just happen to believe that we're living in the last days. And I believe the Lord could come back. And I believe the rapture could take place. And oh, thank God today, the migration of the church is going to take place. My question to you today, are you in the church? You say, what kind of a crazy question is that to ask? Preacher, I'm in Smith Grove Baptist Church. I'm not talking about that church. I'm glad you are here. But are you in the church? Are you in the body of Christ? Are you a part of the bride? Can you remember a time that you really got it settled at the cross? Can you remember a time that you came to Jesus Christ as a hell-bound sinner, knowing you were lost, and calling out to Him for salvation? Can you remember a time that struck a date on a calendar, the date that can be pinpointed when you got saved? I have a question this morning. How many of you, by a show of hands, know when you were born physically? Let me see your hand. This is one time. Nobody. Do it again. I think a few hands didn't go up. Some of you, y'all don't know when you were born. I'm going to ask you another question. You don't have to raise your hand on this one. Do you know the date on the calendar when you were born again? That's Bible. That's John 3. You must be born again. Do you know when you were born again? That's a fair question, isn't it? Well, if you don't know, I can tell you today you can know. I can tell you today that you can get the greatest blessing that'll far surpass anything you'll wind up on that table on Thanksgiving Day. I can tell you about a dressing far more important than the dressing inside that turkey. I'm talking about a dressing of His righteousness. I'm talking about clothed in His righteousness. The greatest blessing of all on Thanksgiving is to be included in the number of the grateful who can say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. That's more important than bowing your head on Thanksgiving Day and saying, thank you, Lord, for this food on this table. What about, can you truly say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul? Then finally today, we need to be grateful for the benefit of spiritual truth and the security on the part of the child of God. And I've already touched on that, but I'm going to add just a few other points and we're done. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe that, don't you? Everything in this world is changing, but not God, nor the standing of Christians. I can read about what God said and did, and I can trust that. Because if it was true then, it's true now. The Bible doesn't have to be updated. The Bible does not lose its relevancy. Best books, the number one seller of best books. I'm talking about books that hit the number one list. On the number one list is best sellers. Tomorrow, you may not even hear about those books. They lose relevancy. Because what authors write becomes outdated with materials that would post-date what they put in that book. So books can lose their relevancy, but not this book. Since the author is eternal, then his writing is eternal. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's word will never lose its relevancy. I'm thankful today for the Bible, aren't you? I can still trust what God said in the past. And by the way, this is what he said in the past, but it's just like he's saying it now. It's that important. What he says about coming to him for rest and security, he means that now. What he says about the person and work of the Holy Spirit, he means it now. So you know, on this Thanksgiving 2019, I've got a lot to be thankful for, and don't you? But included in that list, are you thankful today for an old-fashioned, heaven-sent, Spirit of God-inspired salvation experience that brought you out of sin's depravity and sin's degradation and sin's bondage place and placed you into a standing with Jesus Christ and security in the Lord and one day a home in heaven when life is over? Have you eaten of the bread that is eternally fresh? Do you enjoy the life that will last forever and ever and ever? That's what it's all about. Let's bow for prayer.